Hello and welcome everybody again to my Tuesday conference call. I'm Ted Keyes, your top freight agent training expert here in Pasadena, California. This is a free high-powered meeting I hold live every Tuesday for top producing freight agents at 2 p.m. Pacific time and 5 p.m. Eastern time. On the call today, I'm going to show you how to move more freight efficiently, effectively, and effortlessly so you make more money financially. And after the call today, go to my website, tedkeysonline.com, to hear more of these podcasts, read more of my blog posts, watch more of my videos, and while you're there, visit my Freight Sales Success Store for top-notch freight-moving products to explode your business today. Once you get to my Freight Sales Success Store, you're going to see a number of products available for purchase. My flagship product first is my Freight Sales Success Guide, typically for beginner and struggling freight agents. If you're struggling in this industry, this Freight Sales Success Guide will get you going. It'll give you traction to get off the ground and start moving freight. If you're looking for motivation to get on the phone daily, then go with my Freight Sales Success Quotes. If you're looking for those specific skills, believe me, there are a number. There's hundreds of individual skills required to move freight. My Freight Sales Success Skills will give you the ability to move freight as you take in these skills and utilize them. While you're there on my website, go to the contact page. There, up above, there's a contact link. Just go to that link and click on it. And once you get there, listen to my video and enter your contact details. By doing that, you're going to receive, you're first of all going to get on my contact list. And by doing that, you're going to get an invitation every Tuesday, personal invitation to this and every call. By doing that also, you're going to receive the attachments that I send out on each and every call. And also, by doing that, you're going to get my free 11 ways, this is my report, 11 ways freight agents will increase their income. This is a report that has been downloaded thousands of times before. On the call today, I've got a special guest. My special guest today, my freight carrier expert guest, is Greg Evasiak. Greg Evasiak calling from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Are you there, Greg?
I'm here, Ted.
Awesome, Greg. Hey, Greg, again, welcome to the call today.
Thank you. Glad to
Greg,
be here.
Give us a short synopsis of your time and your experience in the freight industry.
I started out in the industry actually as a kid pretty well. My family has always had a trucking company ever since I was, since I could walk. So, I mean, I grew up around the shop. I've worked my way through from the shop floor up to driving delivery trucks and delivering freight around town. Then got my, class one in Canada anyways, at a pretty young age. Then I went to, I did business school and went back to driving trucks and working in the family business. And then moved on to doing sales, dispatch, worked pretty well every part of it, mostly over the road and also in the oil patch as well.
So, Greg, most of your experience in this industry is on the carrier side. Is that correct?
Yes, it is, though, yeah. Okay. When I talk sales, it's actually being a salesman for the carrier itself.
Okay. Obviously, it sounds like you're on the road. Is that correct?
I am, so, yeah.
Okay. Now, you live in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Where are you currently?
I'm in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay. All right. Do you get into the States often?
I do now, yeah. I'm down here probably 50% of the time right now.
How much, Greg?
About 50%.
50%. No. Let me ask you this. I have not been given the opportunity to ask any carriers from Canada. As a Canadian carrier, is it possible to survive just doing freight in Canada? Or as a Canadian carrier, is it almost required that you make that you bring loads in and out of the States as well?
It's possible to survive within Canada. It's more. I think it's more difficult myself. I just believe that because the miles and the, I mean, the weight required to, I mean, a lot of our freight now, I mean, moves on 8 axles and, you know, your fuel costs and your tire costs and everything are quite a bit higher to do that kind of business.
Right. Did you say it's higher in Canada?
Good. Cost of business is quite a bit higher in Canada. So okay. I find when I come down the line here, I was actually substantial savings to me.
Okay. So basically there is, I mean, there's a flip side to being a carrier in Canada. I mean, you can attempt to stay there and never leave the country. But you just said there's a high cost of operating in Canada. So basically by traveling more miles in and out of the States, you have to travel more miles. I mean, you're actually driving more miles, but there is a cost saving involved there. Is that what I took from what you just said?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Just briefly describe where you are in your company right now. Now, are you considered an owner-operator, Greg?
Where I'm at now, I'm an owner-operator.
Okay. And are you basically operating on your own? Are you leased on anybody?
I'm leased on to Triton Transport.
Triton Transport? Where are they based out of?
Yeah. And they're based out of Chilliwack, and they have an office in Edmonton as well.
Okay, so they're a Canadian-based carrier.
Yeah. We specialize in heavy haul and oversized, those kind of things here.
What type of trailer are you pulling right now, Greg?
Low-pro step deck.
A low-pro step deck?
Yeah.
Okay. What kind of freight do you have on it right now?
I have some generators for CAT equipment. Hey, hold on just a second. I just have to check in. The truck's up here.
No problem. Just hang tight there, guys. I believe that Greg is on his way to a truck stop in the Atlanta area. I'm assuming that he's stopping in at the Petro. This is a truck stop that I've been to myself. I do recall when I did go there that they do have a small guard check out front. I believe they issue you a ticket. I could be wrong on there, but I believe they do issue you a ticket. It's possible that at this particular Petro they do charge you for parking. I can be wrong. This is a number of years ago that I was at this particular truck stop. But the main purpose today is to give you some perspective from the carrier side. That is my main purpose in having Greg on the call today, to give you some perspective on the carrier side. So just hang tight while Greg checks in at the truck stop here.
Yeah, I'm checked in here now.
Awesome, Greg. Awesome, Greg. Okay, good deal. Hey, Greg, I'm assuming you're at the Petro. Is that correct?
You're 100% correct.
Okay. I was just explaining to everybody that I've been to that Petro. I drove myself a number of years ago, and I did stop there once or twice in my travels. So, hey, Greg.
Yeah.
You said you're hauling some generators and some other odds and ends. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I've got three generators heading, two of them heading to Calgary and one of them heading out to Vancouver. And then I'm going to Wichita, Kansas to pick up a couple of skid steers. So I'm doing a little bit of LTL right now.
Where'd you pick the generators up at?
They were picked up in Newberry, North Carolina. Newberry, South Carolina.
You just picked those up this morning, correct?
Yeah, I did so.
Okay. And you say you're making a stop in Wichita?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then you're making deliveries in Vancouver and did you say Calgary?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about the relationship between, let's say, a carrier and a broker, more specifically somebody like yourself who happens to be an owner-operator. Now, you say you're leased on to Triton, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. But do you ever have to look for your own loads, Greg?
Currently I don't. I help them with it. It's just a product of being in the business. As long as I have, I've always kind of, I enjoy the sales part of it. And okay. I think when you're a carrier, even if you're an owner off looking for loads, I think you got to treat that as a role of sales, right? So.
Okay. Before I forget, Greg, please tell everybody how you and I met.
We met on LinkedIn because I was that's where I contacted you. But I had watched one of your videos, a couple of your videos actually, on the internet, in just kind of trying to further my knowledge on the brokerage side of freight.
Okay.
And then I contacted you.
Well, actually, I contacted you, Greg. I contacted you. You accepted my invite, and basically from there I sent you a message.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I sent you a message. But let's. My point in mentioning that is LinkedIn works. Everybody who's on the call today, LinkedIn works, but it only works when you make the effort to communicate with the other party. If you just think you're going to send out an invite to connect, and just because somebody connects, you're going to get all this business, trust me, it doesn't work that way. Once you connect, that's the easy part. Just connecting with individuals is the easy part. The part, I'm not going to say it's challenging, but the hard work begins right after they accept your invitation. So obviously I said something to you in my message, Greg, that you... I don't know that you took notice to, or that you were attracted to respond.
Yeah, I like your approach. You kind of keyed into it there, doing the hard work, and that's something that I believe is the same thing. And I'm driven to relationship building as well, because I don't believe like on a carrier broker side, because I have used brokers in the past when I wasn't leased to someone. And I totally believe that if you have a better relationship with your broker, or say, and on the flip side for the brokers out there, if you're a broker and you have a good relationship with the carrier, they're going to be more willing to go that extra mile. Just like I'd be more willing to go that extra mile for you because we actually have that connection. If it's a one and done, I'm not really going to go anywhere, you know, knowing you're only going to use me one time. I'm going to be pretty... you know, hard nosed on where I'm at on my rates and everything else, right?
Gotcha. So basically what you're saying, Greg, is if you've done a load or two for me, a couple of times, and I come back to you, you're going to be a little more flexible because you know I'm able to provide you with the freight to move. You're going to be a little more flexible on your rates. And again, not that I would backdoor or, you know, scrape the bottom of the barrel. But my point is the relationship that you build, that's the most important thing you have with any type of broker. Would you agree?
I agree 100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Got it. Go ahead.
Oh, in my past on the sales side, which is mainly in the oil patch, I found the exact same thing you said about LinkedIn is so true. If you send out just an invitation, and I could go through lists and lists of people to work at certain oil field companies, and was selling transportation of frac sand is what I was doing for one of my jobs, and I could send out and I could usually discern who the person was who I needed to talk to, but if I just sent that out there and I don't follow up with them and make the personal contact. And sometimes that actually involves going right to their office or doing something like that. But that personal contact is always what got me the business.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Greg, describe the oil patch to all the listeners today. What is oil patch?
Yeah, I guess, it's not as common to everybody else up there. The oil patch, anything to do with the drilling service, the oil service industry, your fracking, cementing, hauling tubing, building pipelines, facilities, things like that. Anything in that is what we consider the oil patch.
And I'm going to assume that you have a whole lot of experience moving freight in the oil patch.
Yeah, the bulk of my experience is not in the forest industry. So And I mean, some of that freight comes from afar, and a lot of it's within Canada, and that's a lot of the reason why being just in Alberta right now is not a sustainable way to truck right now, because there's just not the volume there that you need.
Oil is not.
Yeah, right now with oil being as low as it is, has severely affected the economy there. Yeah.
Right. But it's not. Well, I was going to say it's not because there's an oil shortage. That's a whole other issue, but I'm assuming it's not because there's an oil shortage, it's because there's a whole lot of oil, especially now with all this oil being drilled, say, over in Saskatchewan, correct?
Yeah, Saskatchewan has a better, their political climate's a little more favorable, and I think that, you know, it's one of those things where you have to be flexible and you have to be willing to go and find other places. I do know guys who are sitting around just say that flat out say they won't go south, they won't do this, they won't do that. And they're going to be the people that they're not going to make it through the recession. So.
Yeah. Gotcha. Let me ask you this, Greg. So let's go back to where you're an owner operator and you're finding loads on your own. All righty.
Okay.
So you call a broker on a load that they have posted.
Okay.
Right? Obviously, your goal is to get as much money as possible for the load that you're calling on, correct?
You betcha.
Okay. And that's a given. And
yeah.
from a broker side, let's face it, our goal is to be as reasonable in what we're going to pay for the load.
Yeah.
So basically, carriers are aware of that. Correct? Carriers are
yeah,
aware
we
of,
are.
Hey, your goal is to get as much money. Broker side, goal is to pay, well, a reasonable rate for the load.
Yeah.
Let's talk about after you've negotiated the rate. What sort of advice can you give us as freight agents that are listening on the line today? What sort of advice can you give us after the rate has been negotiated and now it comes down to picking up the load, getting it in motion, and delivering the load? Just give us some advice that you can give to all of us, say, just as far as getting the load picked up.
The more information you can pass on to the carrier as far as, the contact information, because I've actually had experiences where I've been given very little information on the load itself. And just having the details, even sometimes of your dimensions, your weights. I know you guys can't always make sure that that's the correct information, but the more that you have to pass on to that carrier, the easier it is on his end to, you know, to plan the rest of his route. Whether it's like you say on this LTL stuff that I'm doing now, if my dimensions and weights and that are off, and I planned my second part of my route and adding these other couple pieces on, and if it's off, I'm not going to be able to follow through on that, on the commitment on the other end of it. And do you know what I'm saying? That's the biggest problem I've run into, is that sometimes once a load's booked and it's off of somebody else's plate, they kind of forget about it.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
So basically, review, the more information, the better. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So when you're, so I know from the other side, of it, when I was dispatching and sales at the one outfit I was at, we had sticker trucks as well. And so you always had to ensure that we were getting the most information we could from the customer. So that our guys knew that we were sending the right equipment, that we were going to do the job properly. Because the last thing I want to do, you and I have a relationship. I don't want to make you look bad to your customer, and you're my customer, so I don't want to go there and have your customer phoning you saying, this guy showed up, he had the wrong stuff, he had the wrong time, and, you know, both of us look bad at the end of the day, and the industry as a whole.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Any other tidbits of information to add just on the pickup part of the load?
like I say, I haven't run into many more problems other than that, as being that I tended to use the same people, and like say, it goes back to relationship building. I like to deal with the people that I know I'm going to, that are going to work with me, not work just for themselves. And I like the way you phrase that. You want to get a reasonable amount. I want to get a reasonable amount too. And if you and I are working together on that, I'm going to try meet you somewhere in the middle. If it's a one and done and you haven't treated me well in the past, I'm going to go for every last dollar I can on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
gotcha.
Same, like say we might, and if that's the vibe that I've got from other people, or if they've, you know, a couple times I went out and did something for a certain company and I didn't, you know, none of the stuff they sent me was right. It was kind of enticed me into the door. You know, I'd rather have honesty, I guess is what I'm saying. Honesty and as much information as you can give me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So early on, once that the rate's been negotiated, your main point is the more information, the better. Even if you're given too much information, Greg, that is certainly acceptable to you.
For me, it is. I'd rather know more. I'd rather you send me a half a dozen sheets on an email, or a dozen sheets on an email that, you know, give me something as simple as their hours of operation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not everybody goes on the internet and looks everything up and does the research. And you'd hate to see a guy sit out in front of a gate because he thought he could get there at 6 o'clock and the place was only open till 4. And being out on the road here, I mean, you know as well as I do, parking spots are at a premium and everything else. So if a guy misses that opportunity to pick it up today, it really can put a kink in the way he looks on you.
Yeah. I'm just curious, just real quickly, Greg. Now, you pulled into the Petro a few minutes ago. Did you just
mm-hmm.
happen to find an open spot?
Oh, yeah.
And if you did, I'm assuming you pulled straight in. You didn't back in.
No, I pulled straight through.
Okay, I gotcha. So let's go back to just moving loads in general. We talked about the pickup part of it. How about the in-transit part? Again, share with us freight agents to assist you and to assist everybody else that we deal with as far as getting the load in transit, where you're actually moving the load over the road. What kind of advice can you give us?
Well, I like to have a reasonable deadline. That said, I don't, you know, if it's a lot of people will go on the internet now and look up on Google Maps as to the transit time and say, oh, well, it's, say, today even, 14 and a half hours from Newbury to Wichita. Well, that's all well and good if you're doing exactly the speed limit in a car and you have no holdups. But you and I both know that that's not a reasonable deadline to expect me to get there, you know, in a day and a half from now. I have to think about my hours of service, and also that I can't travel at the same speed as a car. I am not going to be able to find the parking stall in, you know, that takes part of my day. So it's one of those things where having a reasonable amount of time to get something there, realistic, I guess, is a better word for it,
mm-hmm.
I think makes a big difference. Like, putting guys under the gun, under a strict deadline, is counterproductive. Then you have somebody out there who's under a load, who's stressed out, who's not going to be putting their best foot forward.
They're eventually not going to be happy with you.
Yeah, they're not going to be happy with you. They're not going to want to pull your freight anymore. That's been my experience in the past. Like, I understand sometimes something has to move right now, and if it's a little bit more of a premium and I know I can do it, it's going to be squeaking in by the wire. I might do it on a one-time basis, but if it's
mm-hmm.
every single time you phone me is, you know, we need to get this there tomorrow and I'm phoning you, and
mm-hmm.
it's not going to happen every time.
So what I'm picking up from just getting the load in transit is be reasonable with the transit time.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you give check calls, Greg? Do you call with check calls? Let everybody know where you are at certain points. You know, if you're starting in the morning, stopping at night?
I call into, like here, I call into the office once a day and let them know where I'm at. We do have tracking, so they can track me. When I was booking loads on my own and that, I would ask the broker up front, do you want me to check in with you, you know, once a day? Would you like me to just keep in contact with the consignee? How would you like me to go about it? That's
mm-hmm.
more the way I operate, because I'm moving, the way I look at it, I'm moving your freight.
Mm-hmm.
It might be whoever your customer is, but you're the one who got the load. So if you'd like it dealt with a certain way, that's the way I'll deal with it. And I mean, not everybody's going to be the same as me, but that's how I like to deal with it.
Got it. Okay. All right. So basically, you ask the customer if they want check calls, but the main thing I got out of that is be reasonable with your transit time. Just because Google Maps says, you know, 1,000 miles and 12 hours travel time, that does not equate the same for a big rig.
Exactly.
Okay. How about on the delivery, Greg? Give us some points again, us freight agents, on the delivery. What are the important points as far as getting the load delivered?
There's on my side of it with the because just about everything I do is deck freight, with the exception of when I worked for my dad, we hauled seedlings for the forest industry, so for the tree planters to plant. That was about
the
most.
Did you say seedlings?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So those are big boxes, right? That have the seedlings inside of them.
Yeah, exactly. And so, they're hand loaded. Where we hauled out of, they were always hand loaded, and so there was no palletization. And so when you got to the other end on that, the thing you wanted to know the most was how much help am I going to have?
Okay.
And really that's really kind of a blanket thing. Knowing where I'm going, do I have the right tools to get this load unloaded?
Uh-huh.
Has that been arranged? I like going into a situation knowing, where I'm going now, I mean, I'm hauling to a thinning location. I know that they've got a ramp there, so to unload the skid steer is not a problem. I don't need a trailer that's an RGM or, mm-hmm. you know, those are the kind of, those are the kind of things I like to know on the delivery side is when I get there, what time am I able to unload? And do we have the right equipment to get this off? Or do we have the right amount of help to get this unloaded? So at least there again, I know within, I know pretty close to how long I'm going to be detained at the other end.
Mm-hmm.
And detention, and I know detention is a huge thing with, especially with van load stuff. I mean, it's a lot of the consignees and even the shippers, I mean, they do keep trucks there a long time. I mean, that really eats up your travel time, which is money.
Yeah.
Depending on
the type of receiver, typically food, the big grocery warehouses, they'll keep you there for, you know, way over 2 hours. But it seems to me that for flatbed like yourself, it's almost guaranteed that, or expect it to be guaranteed that, you know, that you're going to be there a while.
Yeah.
Especially if, yeah, you know, like a crane or something like that is required.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. So on the end, Greg, just in review, your main point is obviously where it's going, the hours of operation, and is all the necessary equipment there to unload your trailer.
Yeah, and if not, at least then I know ahead if I and I guess also, am I responsible for booking that equipment? Because in the oil patch,
an appointment or setting a delivery appointment or even a pickup appointment.
Yeah, exactly. I guess I could have put that right from the get go and in the information part of it. If you're going to set that up, I'm fine with that. I can tell you when I can be there. If I'm to set it up, as long as I have the phone numbers on, I have no problem doing that.
Awesome. Anything else you want to add, Greg? I mean, this is all valuable information. This is the first type of conversation I've had with a carrier where you're actually telling us these are the important points that you look for in doing a load, from negotiating to picking up to getting in transit to dropping off. Anything else that you can think of, Greg, that will assist us agents in becoming better agents in our profession?
I think if you can do something to bridge the gap, like I know I'm kind of the exception to the rule in the way that I look for trying to make that bridge to try to have a better relationship. But there are some guys out there, some carriers out there who won't go that extra mile themselves and have a dim view of the broker side of it. They all think that that your percentage is 60% of the load and blah, blah, blah.
They all think that, well, not all, but a good percentage of them think that we're making all the money.
Yeah, exactly. And having worked a little bit on both sides of it, I know that's not the case. I mean, there are going to be loads. If I don't negotiate well enough and I'm sitting in an area that there is no freight coming out of there, and you phone and I give you a rate, I might be happy just to take whatever I can to get out of there, and you may have had way more in it.
Right.
That's going to happen, right?
So you're aware of those situations.
Oh yeah. I know that it happens. But I mean, there's going to be times where you've got to move that load, and I just happen to be there. And so it's kind of a poker game, right? If I'm holding all the cards, well, I've got the upper hand, right? So. But not everybody's aware of that.
It goes back and forth, Greg.
It does.
For all the carriers that are out there that may be listening to this recording one day, there are pluses and minuses with both professions. I mean, we both have our challenges, and we both have our victories that we work with as well. There are some times where we've got to get a load moved. You may not know this. At all, but there are some times when we have to get a load moved, and to get it moved, we have to take a loss on it. You know, we may lose 50, 100, 200 bucks. You're not going to know that.
No.
But I'll say this, if a carrier, I mean, has it gotten to a point where you can tell where, you know, a broker has got to get this load moved, and they're going to give you whatever, well, I guess you have to read the clues when you talk to them, Greg. Like, for example, just as an example, I know area codes, Greg. All right?
Yeah.
So if you know, one of the first questions out of my mouth to you as a carrier is, where are you calling from? Now, if you told me 780, I know right away. Well, I don't know right away because I know 780 is not a U.S. area code. So
yeah.
If it's not U.S., it's going to be Canada. So
Obviously,
if I've got a backhaul for you going to Canada, and this is the first time I ever dealt with you, I know that you want to go home.
Yeah.
So just little tidbits. So I'm going to let's say stand firm on a load like that, especially if it's an oddball load. You know it's the only load that I've ever gotten like that. But,
yeah.
Greg, are you up for a little question and answer?
Yeah, you betcha.
Awesome. For folks who's on the line today, who's listening to this great conversation, again, this hasn't happened to my knowledge where I have had the opportunity to actually interview a very successful owner-operator, guys. But for those of you that have any questions for Greg, hit *6. It's *6. Who's got the first question for Greg? Greg, while we're waiting for our first question, anything else come to mind that you could share with us?
Well, I'd like to see, I mean, it'd be nice. I always try to look for, you know, kind of look for a freight triangle or try to look for a way to, you know, even on this load, there's a lot of moving parts to what I'm doing right now. And I kind of look for those things myself. If you're a broker and you can add that, I just know it would be for those guys out there who aren't looking for those things. If you can plan a little bit of that into it, if you know somebody else even in another area where you're moving your freight to, and you can kind of work together a little bit to get that guy so he can make a little bit of a triangle of his own. He's going to make a few more bucks, and he's going to be the guy that'll he'll stay with you. He'll be a loyal carrier if you do those, you know, he'll go the extra mile for you if you can do those little things for him. Because, I mean, you guys, you know that as well as I do. Like, lots of times there's not good paying freight here, but if we can just jog over there, we can grab something that's better paying to run back home.
Yeah. So what you're saying, Greg, is if not only you provide a load going from A to B, but, boy, if you got a load from B to C, that even sweetens the pot for a carrier.
It sounds
like you're going to even be more negotiable. However, Greg, there are times when we do that. There are times when we do that, and then the carrier or the owner-operator comes back with, nah, I don't want to go there. You know, so here we are doing the work, finding the freight for you, and then a carrier will come back with, yeah, I like the outbound lane, but the second lane, I'm not interested in that. What else do you have? Like,
yeah.
I mean, do you think we're total magicians or what?
Yeah. No, I got someone else in there.
Yeah, I just didn't mean to interrupt you. This is a very good show, by the way, Mr. Keith. I got a question, Greg. Sometimes when you're negotiating the rate, after you've finalized the negotiation, you closed it at your rate, will you ask for bounce money, like if your fuel mount, your bounce, your fuel cost? Do you get that a lot? Do you get that given to you after you ask for it?
Is this Chris asking the question?
Chris Martinez.
Okay, awesome, Chris. Great question. What do you say to that, Greg?
Well, it never hurts to ask.
Have you ever asked? Do you ask for bounce money?
I have asked. It doesn't always come, but I mean sometimes. Once it's negotiated, like Ted was saying, it depends on what kind of a feeling I'm getting from the guy on the other end. But I think I can get a little more.
Yep. And how often you've dealt with them? This is a good show, Mr. Keys. You can mute me back up.
Thank you, Chris. Who's got the next question for Greg? It's star six. Who's got the next question for Greg? It's star six. Anything else you want to share with us, Greg? Well, we've got this great time with you on the call here. This information you're sharing with us is invaluable, by the way, Chris. Really, really appreciate it.
I'm glad you appreciate it. I'm always at.
Were you about to say something else?
No. You can go ahead with the next question.
Okay. All right. Who's got the next question for Chris? Hit star six. And Chris, if you could mute yourself out again by hitting star five, that'd be great.
Yep.
But next question for Greg. You've given us such valuable information, Greg, today that there's no questions to be asked, or very few. Let me just keep asking here. You say you spend about 50% of the time coming into the States?
Yeah.
Do you typically cross at the same border or the same crossing point, or do you vary it out depending on your lane?
Generally, I've been heading down into the south here, into Texas, into this area too as well down here.
Crossing into the States. North Dakota, Montana.
I come into North Dakota and go back up if I'm going to the Edmonton area or the Calgary area.
Right,
if I'm
29.
Exactly. And then I have had some loads though going up into British Columbia, and I've crossed at a couple different ports going into there as well, just with some bonded loads that I had that I brought right from the Port of Houston. So.
Got it. Okay. Great. If it means anything, Greg, I took my wife to Lake Louise on our honeymoon.
It's a beautiful place, isn't it?
Can I assume you've been there or close by?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, my wife and I have Harley, so we've been pretty well through all of the western provinces and down to the western states.
And
as
you
well.
Say you have Harleys?
Yeah, you betcha.
Awesome. Okay. Good deal. How long have you been married, Greg?
I've been married for, I had to think about that for a second, 8 years.
Okay. Any children?
Yeah. My wife had two children from a previous marriage, so my kids are 17 and 14.
Awesome. And how old are you, Greg?
I'm 40 years old this year.
40 years old. Awesome.
Yeah.
So, guys, I'm running out of questions. Who's got the next question for Greg? Hit star 6.
This is Matt.
Feel free to come in again if you want.
Hello?
Oh, yep. Go ahead. Hello.
Hi, this is Matt from Washington. I've got a question.
Yeah, go ahead, yeah. Matt.
I've moved a few loads of steel out of Lethbridge, Alberta,
yep.
And there's always a big hassle with getting the paperwork. Do you have any tips for streamlining the process?
Getting the paperwork to yourself or getting the paperwork to the guys?
To cross the border.
Oh, okay. We generally deal with a couple of different customs brokers and then I have the e-manifest sent to me via email, and it's always been pretty seamless for me that way. I'm not exactly sure how they're dealing with it in the office, but I'd be glad to, if you wanted to send me an email, I'd be glad to talk to the guys in the office and find out what they're doing.
Hey, Greg?
Yeah?
If anybody has any questions beyond the call here, do you mind if they give you a call?
No, not at all. Not at all.
What is your number?
780-779-0920.
And your email address?
Oh, G-I-M-E. So, gimme.
G-I-M-E.
K-E-G-G-E-R.
K-E-G-G-E-R.
@hotmail.com.
@hotmail.com. Well, thanks for sharing your information, Greg.
Oh, no worries. Okay. Like I said to you before, Ted, it's a juvenile email address, but I never wanted to change
don't,
it.
Don't, you don't have to explain. Last question for Greg before we let him, I'm going to assume that you're headed into... what's the restaurant for Petro now? What's that restaurant called that Petro has? The frying pan?
The iron skillet.
Got it. Shall I assume you're headed into the iron skillet?
Actually, I'm lucky. My wife freezes and makes me a whole bunch of meals before I leave.
Awesome.
And so I actually have a freezer in here, like an ARB freezer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just heat everything up in here.
Okay. So, based on your picture, it looks like you're somewhat health conscious, Greg.
Yeah, I try to look after myself. My wife's a personal trainer as well, so that kind of keeps me in line too.
Awesome. Okay, last question for Greg. Hit star 6. Who's got the last question for Greg? Again, Greg, want to thank you so much for getting on the call today. This has been great information. Would you agree, Matt?
Matt's still there.
Okay. Last question for Greg. Who's got it? Hit star 6. Okay. Hey, Greg.
Yeah.
Again, thank you so much for getting on the call. Is somebody coming in?
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Eddie from Chicago.
Eddie from Chicago, Greg.
Hello, Eddie.
Question. Great. Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I have a question. When dealing with a new brokerage, what are some of the key features or key things you look for before doing business with them?
Broker, what are some of the key points and issues that you consider before you do business with them, Greg?
I like to know that they're established. I don't like to deal with just, fly-by-night people. I really, shy away from that. I mean, all of you guys are kind of under the same umbrella, so
is there a way for a carrier to check with a broker to see if, you know, they're not a fly-by-nighter?
I think it's pretty tough to actually check without just, you know, talking to other drivers and other owner operators, at least on the Canadian side of it. Like on the US side of it, I honestly haven't had as much experience dealing with US brokers as I have on the Canadian side. And so most of the contacts I made were through other people. And so, I mean, beyond that word of mouth, I'll check people out online. I'll check your online presence. You can also, I mean, I don't like to put a lot of stock into what people say, you know, negative comments or things like that, because, I mean, people will write you up for the least little thing on the internet. I mean, it's like the worst truck stop in the world for that.
Right.
But
Greg, there's also a way to check to see if brokers pay their bills, isn't there? What's that service called?
Oh, shoot. You're making me draw a blank here, Ted.
Just like
I know what you're.
There's a way for us brokers to check to see if carriers are doing their job or not.
Yeah.
Typically when it comes to safety issues and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's...
Go ahead.
There is one, and I'm trying to think of the name of it. I don't have it off the top of my head.
But
I'm a little rusty on that because I'm spoiled right now. So.
Yeah, you're leased on.
Yeah.
With a carrier, so that's stuff you don't have to do anymore, or for the time being anyway.
Yeah. And the other thing is, a lot of it is personality. I mean, if you're amiable and easy to deal with on the phone, it goes a long ways. I mean, if you're the type of person that says, "Hey, I got this load, do you want it or not?" And that's the extent of our conversation. I may need that load, but I'm probably gonna pick my phone back up and keep on calling.
Yeah.
Because I want to deal with somebody who is easy to deal with and who wants to deal with me.
Mm-hmm. Your initial demeanor is going to tell whether you're professional as well.
Exactly.
You'd be surprised at how many phone calls that we get, Greg. Yeah, I mean, that we get as freight agents, and, you know, the dispatcher or the owner operator calls up and says, "I'm calling. What load do you have posted? we're like, gee, I don't think I want you doing my load anyway. So it does go both ways. Would you agree?
Oh yeah, it is a two-way street. If I don't know, if I'm phoning you and I have no idea what I'm looking for, there's a pretty good chance I'm not going to get there on time, or I'm not going to do you the service that you're looking for.
Yeah.
And
or
like I said, it's the same
way
on the other end.
Or let's put it this way. You've just taken a load into Florida. You know what Florida, you know, outbound Florida freight is like, correct?
Yeah.
And you've just
there's a reason
a
I don't go that far
south. You're calling on my $1.10 a mile outbound freight, and you're looking for over $2 a mile. Would you agree that that's a quick way for you to get hung up on?
Yeah, exactly. And it's not. And it. I mean, guys have to realize it's not going to happen. That's where. Drivers themselves could do a lot more service if they study freight lanes. I mean, it's one of the biggest things. I mean, on the Canadian side, I know there's certain places in Canada you just don't want to go to because you're not going to get back out of there. You can go there, but you best have a really good bang load going in.
Yep.
And
so
if you're
taking a load to Fort McMurray, you better be going
you're not,
for $3-4 a mile.
Exactly, because you're not bringing anything back.
Gotcha.
So unless you've got some contacts up there, and I kind of am lucky that I know a few people, but.
Eddie, did Greg give you somewhat of an answer for you?
Yes, he did.
Awesome. Okay. Hey, Greg, I'm going to go ahead and wrap things up here again. Thank you so much for getting on the call today. The information that you've shared with all of us has been invaluable. Very, very much appreciate it.
Well, thanks. I appreciate you having me on, and glad to come back anytime you need that.
Yeah, I know we'll talk again real soon. I'm just going to say a few things here to wrap up my call here, and that is, guys, in closing, do you want to receive the weekly email invites that I provide for this and every call? Then go to my website, tedkeysonline.com/contacts, and enter your contact details. If you have any questions about the call today, or more importantly, are you ready to join our top-notch freight agent sales team? And again, it is top-notch. Then give me a call, Ted Keys, at 626-309-9141. Again, thanks for joining me today on my Tuesday conference call. I'll see you again next week at the same time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 2 p.m. Pacific Time, my apologies, and 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Take care. God bless. I'll see you all again next week.